today what I want to do is I want to teach a message that honestly, and I mean this sincerely, I think it has the potential to kind of impact your life moving forward. And that's a really big statement for me to make standing up here. But I really think that if we can kind of take hold of this, it'll be a tremendous impact on your life moving forward, more than anything else that I could suggest. I got to back something up now because that's a pretty huge statement. But let me kind of give you a little backstory. For the last several years, I've kind of built in these little disciplines in my life. And normally that happens around New Year's, kind of like a New Year's resolution type thing. But it doesn't have to be. But you find something you want to do or something that benefits you or profits you, and you can kind of build it into your life, these little disciplines. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but if you do this over a 5-7 year period, then you built in 5 or 7 disciplines in your life that could really help you change your life. You know, for me, just some examples of reading the Bible all the way through, praying with my kids consistently, journaling, writing things down, making sure I'm taking care of my body physically, you know, exercising and trying to eat right, all that stuff. All those things are disciplines that I've tried to add over the last several years to my life. But I think this one discipline that I'm going to talk to you about this morning has had more impact on my life than any of the 5 disciplines that I could think of combined. It's really been that significant for me, and so I hope, in turn, that it would kind of be significant for you as well. And very simply, if you're titling something this morning, you want to take notes and write something down, Landon, you can push the B button there, buddy. We'll call it this morning, we'll call Words to Live By. Words to Live By. Now, before I talk about Words to Live By, I know all of us would say that there are times in our lives, and there are times, you know, seasons that we go through, in your context, in your job, in your family. Man, life can just be difficult sometimes, can it not? Yes. It can be really, really hard, and it can beat us down, and it can beat us up sometimes, and it can be challenging. Can I be real transparent with you for just a second? This past, I want to say 12, 18 months, maybe a little bit longer, hasn't been any less challenging for me, hasn't been any less busy for me, hasn't been any less demanding for me as far as the things that I have to do, but it probably has been, without question, one of the best periods of time in my life. How I think, how I talk to myself has drastically changed, and that has made my life drastically changed. Better. And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning is words to live by, because how we feed our minds is very important. I want to say right now, your thoughts matter more than you could ever imagine. I have one big thought this morning. Landon's going to throw it up there for us. If you want to write it down, this is it. It's this right here. Our lives move in the... That's not it, buddy. Go back. No, that's it. But just go back and see if it comes back up. Sometimes the PowerPoint messes up. I'll just tell you what it is. Our lives move, or maybe I messed up when I typed it in there. That's probably more likely. But our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Your life, my life, our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Mark it down and take it to the bank. I guarantee you, your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If your thoughts are full of faith, full of God's truth, you're becoming more like Christ every single day. If your thoughts are negative, if your thoughts are toxic, if your thoughts are polluted, I promise you, you'll not live in victory. I promise you that you'll struggle because your thoughts are far from God's truth. In your life and in my life, our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. We cannot escape that. It's just a fact. In fact, I want to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. And these verses have significantly impacted the way I think about thinking. And here's what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. He said, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, what do they think about? It's on the screen. They think about what? Sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Spirit, what do they think about? So let your sinful nature control your mind. When your sinful nature takes over control, your mind leads to death. But this is important, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The Apostle Paul tells us our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Your inner dialogue, it matters so much. How many of you would just admit that you kind of talk to yourself throughout the day? My hand's up. I talk to myself all the time. Sometimes I say good things and sometimes I say bad things, but I talk to myself all the time. I want you to take note of this. You don't have to write it down, but I think this is very important. Go ahead, buddy. The most important person you talk to all day is you. So you better be real careful what you say to you. It's the truth. The most important person you talk to all day is you. So you better be careful what you say to you. Sometimes minor dialogue is very pleasing to God, and other times minor dialogue can be very destructive. I want to ask you the question, is your inner dialogue, is it dominated by your sinful nature, critical thinking, or would you say that your inner dialogue is controlled by the Spirit of God, consistent with Christ-honoring thoughts? In fact, let me give you a couple different scenarios and to help you answer this question. Is your thought life, is it more God-centered? I mean, would this be typical of a day, of a morning in your life when you wake up and you're excited and you're ready to go for the day and you say something like this, my God is with me, my life matters, I've got a great calling, I've got a great purpose, my mind is full of life and peace, I have divine energy from God to do everything that I need to do today, I'm going to make a difference in this world for the cause of Christ today. Is that how you wake up? Is that how you wake up talking to yourself? Is that your inner dialogue? Is it God-centered? Or, other scenario, is it like this? Snooze. Got to get up again. Which kid is bothering me? This? Why do I even have kids right now? I swear, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got too much to do. I can't get it all done. I am too tired. I am too worn out. There's not enough coffee in the world. I need an extra day in the week. There's no way I can get it done. Whatever I do, doesn't matter. I can't get ahead. Just frustrated. I'm just so mad. Just frustrated. Obviously, I'm exaggerating a little bit on both sides. But if you're really honest, which one of those would kind of typify your thinking? Which category would you fall into if you had to put yourself in there? We've already made the statement. Throw it up there, buddy. The statement again. You need to wake up over there, man. You're over there yawning. One more time, pal. We've already made the statement. Maybe it'll come up correctly this time. Hit it, Landon. Hit it one more time, Landon. There it is. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That's the statement. Okay? That's the statement. Here's the question that follows the statement. Go ahead, pal. Are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? If your life is in fact moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, and by the way, it is, you cannot escape it, then the question needs to be, are you excited about the direction that your thoughts are taking you? I honestly never put much thought into this until a couple years ago. I went down to a John Maxwell certified training leadership event, and I had a great time there. But when I was there, I mean, this totally blew me away, the things that they had to say and the things that they gave to us. And quite honestly, a couple years ago when I went down there, my inner dialogue wasn't great. I didn't like what I said to myself. If I can be really honest with you, I found myself saying over and over again, I got too much to do, I can't get it all done. I found myself saying over and over again, I don't know how long I can keep this up. I found myself saying over and over again, I'm a worthless father. I found myself saying over and over again, nobody loves me, nobody wants to be with me. I found myself saying over and over again, my inner dialogue, over and over, time and time again, that I had too much to do and I couldn't get everything done. But what I recognize is that I needed God to help change my thinking. And if God could change my thinking, then that could change me. So God helped me change my thinking just in this one discipline that I'm sharing with you this morning. Romans chapter 2, Landon, Romans chapter 2, verse 2. It's a verse that's spoken to me for many, many years. And maybe today it'll speak to you in a new and fresh way. But the Apostle Paul says this. He says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God do what? Transform you. Let God change you. Let Him transform you into a new person by doing what? Change the way you think. You see, what I love about this isn't me changing me because I can't change me. This is God changing me by renewing my mind and by replacing negative and wrong thoughts with godly truth. This isn't me working to change me. This is me working to align my thoughts and my thinking with God's truth so that He changes me not into a better version of me, but into a completely new person. See, let God change you into a new person by changing the way you think. Because like it or not, here's the next one, bud. Like it or not, so much of life isn't about what happens to you, but it's about how you think what happens to you. Let me say it again, because some of you need to embrace this morning. Something bad can happen to one person and they completely fall apart and they lose it and they're never the same ever again. That same event can happen to a totally different person and they're full of God's truth and they say something like this, well, I'm just getting closer to God because I'm going through this. It's not so much about what happens to you, it's how you think about what happens to you. It's not the amount of stress that you have in your life right now. That's not it. Stress is how you think about what you have to do. But when you recognize that God is with you and that His power is real and that He carries you and that in your weakness His strength is made perfect, suddenly what seemed to be like stress now becomes an opportunity for you to tap into His power so that He can renew you, renew your thinking and change you into a new and better person. Amen. It's not about all that you have to do. It's about how you think about what you have to do. I love the way Paul unpacks this powerful truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says this, throw it up there, Landon. Keep going, buddy. There you go. There you are, pal. You're good. All right. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. He gets into some really cool language right here that I like. He says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. In other words, we don't fight this battle with a gun or a knife. And Landon got a brand new game yesterday or a couple days ago on his Nintendo. And it's a Kirby game. And he was sitting there playing. He's like, Dad, look at this cool weapon. It was a yo-yo that had like fire on it. And he was just killing everything. We don't have yo-yos with fire. I mean, we don't fight this battle with stuff that way. But we've got spiritual weapons that have spiritual power, he says, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. You see, the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. We fight with prayer. We fight with fasting. We fight with the Word of God. We fight with the sword of the Spirit. We fight with a breastplate of righteousness, with the shield of faith, with the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shoes prepared with the gospel of peace. We don't have normal human weapons. Our weapons are way more powerful than that. They demolish what Paul calls strongholds. What's a stronghold? I'm glad you asked. The Greek word, not the original Greek, the Greek word translated stronghold is ocherama. And it's a word, like if you can imagine this, it's like a huge castle. And in this castle is a dungeon. It's a prison, a very literal translation. It's a prisoner who's in this dungeon, but he's locked by deception. What's a stronghold? It's someone who is believing that they are in a prison and that there is no way out. It's a wrong mindset. It's a spiritual trap. I hate that Chris isn't in here because I'm going to tell a story on Chris involving myself, Chris, Andrew Walls, I'm going to name him too, and a few other people. But I remember being over at my friend Andrew's house, and Chris was there as well, and there were some other people there. I don't remember who all was there. I think it was some of Andrew's family, cousins and stuff. And for some reason, Chris and Andrew thought it would be a great idea. We went swimming. I don't really know how I got in this situation, but I was in it. I was probably about Landon's age, maybe a little bit older. I wasn't, you know, bigger or stronger than Chris and Andrew. They were both bigger and stronger than me. And so I was in this situation where we had gotten done swimming and I think I was changing clothes, but somehow I ended up in my underwear and nothing else. And so I'm in my underwear and nothing else. And I don't know how I got there. That part's kind of foggy. But what's not foggy is Chris and Andrew locked me in a closet. In my underwear with no clothes to put on and nothing else, and there's other people there and there are girls there and I'm freaking out and I'm trying my best to get out of this closet locked in my underwear, and Chris and Andrew on the other side of the door laughing at me trying to get out because they got it locked or they got it barricaded or they got it held somehow where I can't get out. And I'm sitting there, I'm getting mad, I'm getting upset, I'm probably crying. I am crying. So I'm upset because I can't get it. And so I try my best for I don't know how long to get out of that, and I can't get out, and they're just laughing at me on the other side and having a good time. And so finally, after a while, I just give up. I quit because I know I can't get out because they're bigger and stronger than me. They've locked the door or barricaded the door somehow. No matter how much I push, I'm not getting out. It's not happening. So I just give up and I just sit down. And I just sit there. And I just sit there. And then I just sit there some more because there's nothing I can do because I'm locked in this place and I can't get out. And I don't know how much time passes by. I'd say an hour, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. I don't know, but somewhere around in there. Chris and Andrew come and open the door for me, and they're just laughing and laughing. Of course, I don't think it's very funny. They're like, "Hey, man, you've been in there forever. We didn't have the door locked after about 10 minutes. You were just sitting in there." That, my friends, is Ochirama. That is a prisoner locked by deception. That's someone who's believing a lie and not living their life the way that they could. It's a silly illustration, but get this. Many of you, that's exactly where you are. Satan's gotten you deceived that you can't, that you won't, that you never will. He's got you so convinced that you don't have the faith to reach out and grab what could be yours because you're deceived and you're living a lie. It's a stronghold of the evil one. And the good news is that you have power. You have divine power to demolish the strongholds. How do we do this? Landon, throw the next verse up there for me, bud. Verse 5. One more, pal. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We do this. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. I love the way the New Living Translation puts this verse in this language. The writers say this. We capture the rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. What a powerful image that is. I like that. You got a rebellious thought, what do? You capture it. You're going to say, obey Christ. You got a critical thought, you're going to capture that critical thought. You're going to say, shut up, sit down, let me tell you some truth. That's what you do. I mean, it's what the writers are saying here. You got a critical thought, you teach it to obey Christ. You got a negative thought, you capture it, sit down, let me teach you some truth. That's what the writer is saying right here. You capture the rebellious thoughts and you tell them, no, 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 you don't rule my life. God rules my life. His Word rules my life. And you teach it the Word of God. You take captive every thought and you make it obedient to Christ. So here's what I need you to do as we get close to wrapping up this morning. You got to work now, okay? There's two things that I want you to do this morning. Here's what I want you to do. Two questions to ask yourself. The first one is this. Landon, I think I put it up there, buddy. Go on to the next thing. Yep, I did. Go ahead. Here's the first question you need to ask yourself. What negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? Because there probably are some that are in your mind that are dominating your thinking. I'm going to give you some ideas, and maybe you can write down two or three either now, if you already know what they are, or if you got to think about them a little bit, you kind of got to do some self-reflection, you can write them down later. But here's some ideas. You might think, man, I can't get it all done. I'm not a good enough mom. She brought homemade cookies. I brought store-bought cookies. Hashtag, I stink. You know? I'm on again, off again with God. I'm always in a battle with such and such. I'm very inconsistent. I'm undisciplined. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm always going to struggle with my weight. I'm always going to struggle with not being good enough. I'm always going to struggle with my grades. I'm not a good enough student. I can't get into grad school. You got these negative thoughts that are going off in your mind all the time. What are they? Write them down. Write down the negative thoughts that are dominating your thinking. Honestly, when your dialogue tips to the negative side, what are you consistently telling yourself over and over again? Because what you're telling yourself over and over again, that's the direction that your life is moving. Here's a second question you need to ask yourself. What spiritual truth will demolish your stronghold? That negative thinking that you got going on over and over and over again in your mind, what spiritual truth is going to help demolish that stronghold that has a hold of you right now? Maybe if you're new to church or you're a new follower of Jesus or you just don't feel like you know enough and you need some help with this, great, we'll be happy to help you. That's what we have small groups for. That's why we sit in Brian's small group every Sunday. We help each other out. We lift each other up. I mean, that's what we're there for. So you can say, you know what, here's what I struggle with. And someone else may say, well, here's what actually is true about your situation. I mean, this is what's going on in my life. This is what I'm feeling. This is what's going on. Someone else might come along beside you and say, hey, no, we have everything we need, and we have everything that we need for that. What God has called us to do. Or Christ in you is more than enough. Or worry is not your master. my faith in God and God alone. I'm not easily offended. I'm full of unconditional, unstoppable, unquenchable love of God. My God is with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Get with somebody who can help you align your thinking with God's thinking so that you can demolish these negative thinking and strongholds that you have in your life. And so what I want to encourage you to do is I want you to encourage you to seek God first every single day, every morning. We worship God the first day of the week. We put God first. If you put God first and spend time with Him every single day and pray for just a few minutes and read His Word and you speak aloud what He says about you is true, they're words to live by and it can drastically change your thinking. And by changing your thinking, you can drastically change your life. I mean, it just happens. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some suggested statements. And then at the end, I'm going to be real vulnerable and transparent with you and I'm going to give you what I struggle with and what I tell myself every single day. All right, so here are some statements, some words to live by that maybe you can jot these down if these apply to you, and if not, great. You don't have to write it down. But maybe you're full of worry, and you worry all the time. You just find yourself constantly thinking about things that you have no control over, and you're worried all the time. Landon, throw it up there. Here's something that you can say if you're worried. Because of Christ, I'm not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on God because He cares for me. I have the peace of God dwelling in my heart and ruling in my mind day in and day out. Amen. And you declare it by faith. That's right. And you say it. And you may not believe it at first. You may not believe it the first month you say it. But over and over again, you write this down and you say it every single day. And eventually, your thoughts are going to align with God's thoughts and His truth. And there's going to be a change in your life. Maybe you don't know God's will for your life, and that's a struggle for you, and that's something that you battle. You don't know what God wants you to do, what His next step for you is. Maybe you can say something like this. Landon, throw the next one up there, buddy. What does He want you to do? Every day, say this. My life belongs to God. Daily I seek Him, and daily He directs my step. I know His voice, and He leads me to His perfect will. And you say it. And you write it down. And you say it out loud. And then you say it out loud again. And you continue on putting these thoughts into your mind every single day. Maybe you lack confidence. And so every single day you say this. Landon, throw it up there for us. My confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. Because His Spirit lives within me, I can do everything He calls me to do. Amen. And you say it every single day. You write it down. You write the spiritual truth down and you say it verbally, aloud, several times a day. Every single day you make these statements known. Maybe you're inconsistent with your time with God and you're on again, off again with Him. You got this on again, off again relationship. You're good for a little while and then you're out for a little while. Maybe you can say this. At first you may not believe it's true, but you keep saying it until it does become true. Landon, throw the next one up there. I love the living and dwelling presence of my good God. Praying is as important to me as breathing. God's Word nourishes my soul. I depend on His presence every moment of every day. May seem silly at first, may seem corny at first, but if you say it long enough, guess what's going to happen? Your mind is going to shift that way. God is going to make you into a new person, and your life is going to head a totally different direction. Because what you think about the most is the direction that your life is heading right now. I'll give you another kind of silly illustration before I wrap up. I studied French in high school, and when I say studied French in high school, that's a loose term. I had French in high school because I had to take it. I was an average French student. I was not very good. We had to pick a French name. My French name was Max. I don't know why, but I could say, Je m'appelle Max. That's all I can remember is my name is Max. That's all I got for you. I got nothing else from 2 years of French in high school. But we had this French teacher who, would, at the beginning of the semester, she would speak to us in French and then English. But toward the middle of the semester, man, she would just say, bonjour from the beginning and then just go in French. And I'm sitting there like, huh, what? And I'd pick up a little bit and I'd lose a little bit. But here's what was happening. I would hear her speak in French. And then in my mind, I would try to translate it into English. And then when she would want to talk back, when she would want me to talk back to her, I would put it in my mind in English, and then I would try to get it in French, and then I would try to get it to come out of my mouth in French. And it was a very confusing process to try to do all of that. And I wasn't very good at it. But I remember about, you know, 3/4 of the way through the semester, she was speaking in French, and something shifted, and something happened in my mind. I heard her in French. It went into my mind in French. I didn't have to change it into English. And it came out of my mouth in French. There was a huge shift that took place in there. And somewhere along the line, that switch for you is going to take place if you do this consistently day in and day out. The more you say it, the more you renew your mind, and one day, bam, there's a switch that takes place in your mind, and that stronghold, that negative stronghold that you had, is now gone, and it's replaced with godly truth. That's just the way it happens. Nothing changes about the intensity of your schedule. Nothing changes about the complications of your life. Nothing gets easier. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the way you think will change and become more consistent with God's truth. And it will completely transform the way you love others and the way you live. So what I want to do is I want to share mine with you a little bit. And I'm telling you, this is vulnerable. I mean, you stand up in front of people and tell them what you struggle with. That's hard to do. But I want to show you what I struggle with and then what I say on a daily basis. Most of the time, a daily basis. I don't always get there, but most of the time I say this out loud on a daily basis. But I struggle from time to time. And I struggle with putting God first a lot of times, especially if I have a house full of kids with me, because there's so many, you know, I think urgent things I got to do. And so sometimes I put God on, and I'll get to it later. And I say, I'll get to my reading later. I'll get to my Bible later, whatever. And so the urgent here, what I think is urgent, takes place of the important. And it's an ongoing battle for me. And it's something that I struggle with. And I love my kids, but I'm telling you right now, I always, always feel like a failure at home. And I always feel like I'm a failure at work, because I deal with some difficult kids at work who just, I mean, they have no hope. And sometimes, you know, you're pouring in, you're trying, and there's no change, and there's nothing happening. And it's just, sometimes it's very frustrating, like I'm not doing enough at work, and I'm not doing enough at home with them. And so I tell myself, man, sometimes I'm not good enough, and sometimes I'm inadequate on my job, and I'm inadequate at home with Landon and Savannah. And those are some things that, those are real, real struggles for me. Those are things that I have to battle every single day. And there's issues where I could tell where, you know, my negative thoughts could go from time to time, but I have to shut those negative thoughts down and teach them to sit down and obey Christ. And so these are my words to live by. This is what God has helped put in my life through His Word. It's helped me change my thinking. That's made this, you know, the best little bit of time I've had so far in my life. And it's, I say this every single day, Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify Him. I say I love people and believe the best about others. My children will love God and serve Him with their whole hearts. I will nurture, equip, train, and empower them to do more for His kingdom than they can imagine. I'm disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. And because of Christ, my family is closer, my body is stronger, my faith is deeper. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning today, and the world will be different because I serve Jesus today. Every day. Some days I say it and I'm ready to go. Some days I say it and I don't believe it. But every single day I put those thoughts, those words into my mind. And I'm daily renewing my mind, renewing my thinking, renewing God's Word, putting it in my life so that He doesn't just change me, but He makes me into a brand new person. Michael, you can come on. I'm called to make a difference in the world. You're called to make a difference in the world. We have the mind of Christ. We have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling within us. That makes me more powerful for the kingdom of God. And the thoughts that bring my life and bring me down sometimes in my life, I need to get rid of those. And I need to replace those with godly thinking, effective, productive, God-honoring thoughts. That's why with every bit of passion and spiritual enthusiasm this morning, I'm begging you to join this with me. Do it. Figure out what you're thinking, where your thinking is lacking in lining up with God and His Word, and write that down, and then find you a spiritual truth. If you can't figure one out, come to us and we'll help you, and we'll help you battle that. And say it every single day. Go to God every single day with this truth. Jesus is the author of truth, and when you know the truth will set you free. Amen. So today I hope these are some words that we can live by.